Good morning, nerds. It is August 10th. I am Troy Stegner. I will be bringing you all the nerdy news of the day that I can find. Let's jump right in. Let's start with Sideshow. Sideshow makes some really great detailed pieces. This one is no exception. It's a preview of the Alice in Wonderland statue based on the J. Scott Campbell's artwork. J. Scott Campbell makes some amazing cutie female type based artwork. This one is Alice in Wonderland. It's going to go on pre-order August 16th. Right now, you can sign up to possibly win it for free and join the RSVP list. So I will have a link to this in the description. Beautiful piece. You have to check it out. Okay, the Thanos statue by Iron Studios. This isn't the one that was advertised earlier. This one is a bigger piece. It's a 1/4 scale by Iron Studios. This one's going to cost you around $1,000. Well, let me tell you, there's no price on the Alice in Wonderland yet, so I couldn't give you a price on that one. Anyway, Thanos, $1,000 payment plan. It goes on pre-order April of 2019. You got plenty of time before you even get in on a pre-order. I'm sorry, estimated arrival time is April 2019. It's on pre-order now. So if you like Thanos, you should jump on this 1/4 scale. It's huge. It's over 28 inches tall. Based on the Infinity War version of Thanos, it has two versions of his head. One with just the calm expression, one with him grimacing with teeth showing. It is made out of polystone, hand-painted. It does have, the gauntlet has LED light-up lights. That has got to look amazing, especially when at night you can have that lit up and he'll just show off the glow off those lights should just really show off the statue. Like I said, two interchangeable heads, and you get Captain America's Wakanda shield, the new one that Shuri made for him, is at the base of the statue. I'll have a link to this in the description also. Okay, the WWE Next Takeover Blueprint number 1 comic book. WWE has tried to do comic books before, never really taken off. Now that they're with Boom Studios, it seems like Boom Studios is doing a really great job with the stories and the artwork. This one is going to go back to 2012 with legendary wrestler Dusty Rhodes. Back in my day, he was a fan favorite. Everybody loved Dusty Rhodes. They're going to do this weekly through September. It'll focus on different wrestlers each week. Like I said, the first one's going to be Dusty Rhodes. You're going to get other wrestlers such as Demon King, Samoa Joe, Empress of Tomorrow, Champion Paige, blah, blah, blah. Worth checking out. It's going to start on September 5th. It's going to be weekly, a miniseries. Cover a lot of your favorite wrestlers from the past. Hence the name Blueprint, showing how they all started and brought wrestling to the prominence it is now. If you like wrestling and you like the old school wrestling, definitely check it out. Legendary Pictures is going to make a superhero heist movie. Now, when I first read this, I was thinking, oh, the superheroes are going to just perform a heist. And what's the novelty in that? They're basically super villains at that point, and they're just going to steal something and get thwarted. Well, I read the synopsis, and I couldn't be farther from the truth. What the premise of the story is, this group of guys decides that they're going to go and rob this superhero's house. They get caught. So the superhero is going to stop them from robbing his house. This sounds interesting. I really want to see where they go with this. Is a superhero going to kill him? I don't know. I doubt the Legendary is going to pay for a license to use an existing superhero, so they'll probably make up their own or, you know, some type of generic superhero. Really, really want to see this one. No name for it yet, no date, just that they are working on this. And should be out relatively soon. Legendary makes good stuff. Okay, everybody knows, I'm sure you've heard ad nauseum, the Venom movie's coming out, starring Tom Hardy. Yeah, everybody knows they've been showing commercials like crazy. Ron Lim and Mark Bagley are going to work on a comic book for Venom based on his first host. His first host is not Eddie Brock, not even Peter Parker, not even Deadpool. It goes back even farther. His first host is a Kree, and he needs the symbiote's help to do something, so he's searching him out, and it's kind of putting Eddie Brock in a bad situation. A Kree soldier named Tel Kar was the first host for the Venom symbiote. He's needing this symbiote. In fact, he calls it his symbiote. He needs its help in stopping some cosmic cataclysm. And with the Kree, who knows, the Kree are not the best people in the universe. So, Batman Detective Comics, the Orphan. Orphan is helping Batman to defeat. Orphan is trying to defuse the bombs placed on the kids by Karma. Batman's fighting Karma. Black Lightning comes and helps. So, you know, they have this little thing with Black Lightning popping up and teaming up with Batman. There's also rumors of another Outsider's incarnation. In fact, this is storyline is called On the Outside. Go figure. I'll be talking more about the Outsiders later. It's looking like we will be getting a reincarnated version of the Outsiders. And in fact, they're talking about the Katana at the end, that Batman needs someone's help to defeat Orphan, and it happens to be Katana. He doesn't say why or how she's going to help, but we do see Katana, who was also a member of the Outsiders, along with Black Lightning. So let's cross our fingers that we get another Batman the Outsiders. Gamers, if you've been playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or Fortnite, whatever you want to call it, they have a new gameplay mode called Dodge Bomb. It's a new event. There's going to be 3 10-man teams, 10-person teams. Doesn't have to be men. You get thrown into the countryside there with just a few items. You get 20 grenades, a Molotov, level 3 gear, and a frying pan. This is going to be like a winner takes all. If you get killed, you don't. It's not a knockdown. Once you're dead, you cannot be saved. It's a war mode event, which means respawns happen every 30 seconds. If you haven't played Fortnite, it's free to download. You can play it. It's a really fun game. There's a couple different modes you can play it in. I usually don't do very well. I finish somewhere in the middle. I think the best I've done is I finished 6th one time. Really good game. You can go around and completely modify almost the whole environment. You can build things, you can tear things down, pick up weapons. It's a really good game, and it looks like they just keep adding new modes to it to make it stay interesting. So download that one for free and check it out. Speaking of popular games, I haven't played this one myself, but I know everybody else has been. Cuphead. It sold over 3 million copies. They are going to allow people to celebrate this. They're putting the game up at a discount for the next few days. So if you wanted to try Cuphead out but didn't want to pay full price, now's the time to do it. Go back and dig it up, download Cuphead, pay for it at a discounted price, and get to try a very hot game that 3 million other people like. Funko Pops. The toy that just won't die. These big-eyed caricatures of favorite characters from all genres, comics, movies, books, you name it, they'll make a Funko Pop for it. Well, they are moving on now to Funko Pop Pez dispensers. That's right, Pez dispensers. Another item I don't think I would ever see come back. They have 13 Pez dispensers. These will include Cable, Thor, Gladiator, Hulk, Loki, Star-Lord, Yondu, Magneto, and Stan Lee. There will be a couple of chase variants. There's going to be a glow-in-the-dark Gladiator Hulk. The Deadpool will be available in several different outfit colors, with the blue and yellow and the black and red and reversed red and black. So if you're a collector of Funko, this might be the next step for you. The Pez should take up less room. I'm not even sure if they sell the Pez candy anymore. I'm sure they do, but you can buy the Pez dispensers from Funko Pops. Capcom is releasing Monster Hunter World today. Actually, that was yesterday. It's dated August 9th. So yesterday, Monster Hunter's World. It's, if you like the Monster Hunter's games, this is just the next evolution. All the big dragons, elders, are migrating. Great game. I suggest if you're a Monster Hunter fan, pick it up, check it out. Let me know if it's any good. The Marvelous Miss Maisel. This show, I think it was from Amazon, took me by surprise. I watched it because my DVR was empty and there was nothing else on. It was really good. It's based in the 1950s. A 1950s housewife who is not having a good time at home, and she goes out and starts doing stand-up, which in the 50s, a female doing stand-up, unheard of. So she is doing her stand-up, doing well with it. In fact, she even meets Lenny Bruce in season one. It got 14 Emmy nominations. That tells you right there that it's a good show. It got picked up for season two and approved for a season three. So we will be seeing much more of Ms. Maisel, Mrs. Maisel. If you don't believe me, go watch it for yourself. You can thank me later. It's a good show. When Nintendo gave out their information the other day about adding characters to Smash Brothers, one of the videos kind of showed Luigi getting the ghost knocked out of his body by a Grim Reaper and not being allowed to return to his body. So everybody was freaking out thinking that Luigi had been murdered. Nintendo wants everybody to know that that is not the case. Luigi hasn't been murdered. But that's all they'll say about it. So if you saw that video and you were concerned, Nintendo is trying to reassure people. Luigi is not dead. Don't worry. You haven't seen the last Luigi. Doom Patrol. I touched on this a little bit the other day. They've made their first casting choice. Well, I don't know if it's first. They made a casting choice. A Jovian Wade for Cyborg. So it won't be Mr. Fisher, who played Cyborg in the movie, the Justice League movie. It's going to be a new character. He is going to be the one who kind of ties them all together, brings the guys together to form Doom Patrol. This is going to be, not sure, I'm not sure that Cyborg was connected to Doom Patrol in the comics. If he was, it was not a very big connection. We will see Warner Brothers Television in conjunction with Berlanti Productions has made this decision to have Cyborg bring him in, bring the group together. They're calling it a reimagining of the beloved group of outcast superheroes. At least they're going to have Robot Man. He's kind of needed in this group. Whenever I think of Doom Patrol, I think Robot Man. I don't see a date for this, so look for it to be coming out probably 2019. If they're casting now, that means they haven't started filming. We should see it early to mid 2019. The Three Jokers, they alluded to the Three Jokers at the beginning of Rebirth when Batman sat in the Mobius chair and asked for the identity of Joker. It gave him three different names and he kind of freaked out. How can that be? How can there be three Jokers? Then they just kind of forgot all about this revelation for how many years now? They're circling back now. The Geoff Johns is getting back to it. It's going to be a mini-series, a three-issue mini-series called The Three Jokers. But these are going to be, and it's going to be under DC's new Black Label imprint, which they're going to put more of their darker adult-related type things under this Black Label imprint. These aren't just small comics. I believe they said they're going to be 48 pages each. So you're going to get, you know, three issues of 48 pages explaining what this whole deal with the Three Jokers is. I've been wondering myself, why are there three Jokers? What what's the meaning? How's this going to relate to the DC Universe? Why did Batman forget about it after that and not mention it in his comics again? Don't know. We will find out with Three Jokers, Black Label Imprint, DC. Live-action Dora the Explorer, for those who care. They have cast Isabella Moner, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, to be Dora. Look at the picture. She really resembles Dora. She can pull this off. So you're going to have a live action. They're doing a lot of live action from movie or from cartoons and comic books and what have you. And songs, as like I told you yesterday. I don't know. Michael Bay was originally attached to this, but he's not mentioned in the latest press release. I just can't picture Michael Bay doing a kid's show like that. Unless Dora the Explorer is going to have a lot of explosions and robots and stuff in it. I don't know. But like I said, latest press release doesn't have Michael Bay attached to it. We will find out more as the studio lets us know. Daniel Craig has announced he is not going to be Mr. Bond after this latest, I believe the 25th installment of the James Bond series. They're looking for a new James Bond. And they are saying it's about time we have a James Bond of color or a female. I'm happy with both. I'd be happy if it was a black female who played James Bond. I like the character. As long as you have a great actor portraying him, I'm okay with that. One of the top names, there's a few people they have slated. They're looking at Tom Hardy, Tom Hiddleston, but it looks like the front runner may be Idris Elba. Idris Elba commands the screen whenever he's on it. He is a very dynamic actor. If anybody can play James Bond well, I think it could be him. I like him better than Hiddleston and Hardy. They're even mentioning Henry Cavill, James Norton, really, and Aiden Turner. No. Let's just go ahead and cast Idris Elba. They had issues when they cast him in Dark Tower as a gunslinger. I thought he absolutely killed it as the gunslinger. There's no reason why he couldn't be the next James Bond. In fact, I think he would be a great James Bond. Let's jump over to DC Comics again. Some characters they're becoming aware of their pre-Flashpoint existence. I'm not sure what this is going to mean for the DC continuity. But the latest one, besides Wally West, now Iris is starting to remember her pre-Flashpoint life where she was married to Barry Allen. I'm not sure what this is going to do to... It seems like a lot of these things are centered around the Flash universe. Maybe it's because of the Speed Force. But we will see what Iris remembering her prior life does to the DC universe. Is she going to share this knowledge with Barry and her other friends? Is that going to cause a domino effect of people starting to remember their previous lives? I'm not sure. I don't know what I think about it. We will find out how Iris remembering is going to affect the rest of the characters. Okay, September is going to be anti-censorship variant month for Image Comics. They are partnering with the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund to make variant covers for many of their comics that support the non-censorship, anti-censorship movement. Image is not new to the variant covers. They also did the Gay Pride Month covers, which were really pretty awesome. They're always they're not so much worried like the big two are about, I don't want everybody to get upset with us. They don't believe in censorship, so this is perfect with them. So they've been in a couple of scuffs earlier over censorship, ideas that they've had. So I think this is a perfect fit, is Image with the anti-censorship and CBLDF. Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. If you're not aware of Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, it's a group that you can donate to that will use their resources to help artists, mostly comic artists and writers, when they are being attacked by censorship issues. Great organization. I hope this variant cover does them well, and I hope they make more money because I don't like censorship either. Okay, Tom Hardy. We've heard a lot of Tom Hardy lately. He's not just doing Venom. The guy is like a chameleon. His next role, I guess, is going to be Al Capone. He's going to be in the movie Fonzo. He's going to be Al Capone, but not the gangster, you know, prohibition type Capone. It's going to be Capone after he had already been imprisoned and suffering from dementia, among other things. It looks interesting. It's a part of Capone's life you don't really see much about. It's not all romantic. So we will see Fonzo later in 2019. No date yet. He's probably, you know, still finishing up Venom. Let's look to see how he pulls off Capone. If you've been watching The Gifted, season one focused a lot on Trask Industries, showing their connection to all the evil stuff going on in the Marvel Universe. Trask, if you don't know, is the one who invented the Sentinels, who were overused at one point, 80s, 90s. They just kept popping up, hunting down. They were relentless mutant hunters trying to eradicate the mutant scum, I guess, from the Earth, according to Trask. They're going to switch gears in Season 2. They're not going to concentrate on Trask. It's going to be another company that's not been disclosed. But they're also going to introduce some more characters. You're going to see the Stepford Cuckoos and a bunch of other characters from the comics and some that they have made up. It looks like a few that they will make for the show. So if you've been watching The Gifted, keep watching Season 2. It's going to be like, they're not going to see Trask Industries. You're going to see a different company at the helm of evil in their storyline. Okay, Venom. With the success of the R-rated superhero movies, I think everybody just assumed Venom was going to be R-rated. Sony said it looked like they're going to push for a PG-13 rating, and they're speculating they're doing this so that they'll be easily tied into the other Venomverse movies they got coming out, and to tie into other Disney movies. I guess Disney doesn't like rated R, so they're thinking of taming down Venom for PG-13. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think they should be true to the character and write him and let him be portrayed as he actually is. You found out in Deadpool that works. If it doesn't, if you can't tie it to Disney movies down the line, oh well, at least you have a really great blockbuster Venom movie you can build off of instead of pandering to Disney for this PG-13 rating. So let's hope they come to their senses and let Venom be rated R as he should be. Supergirl. Been hearing a lot about Supergirl lately too. She's getting a new costume. Her costume has got more black in it now. I don't see any yellow. It's going to be black, red, blue. I kind of dig everything except the cape. The cape kind of comes down over her left shoulder as a sash. I don't quite understand what purpose that serves. I don't know. I didn't design it, so. But she will be sporting a new costume, Supergirl number 21. So we will check out her new costume. She went back to wearing her old mini skirt costume for a while, the one that had the solar energy collectors in them, so that she wouldn't have to worry about not being in the yellow sun to get her energy. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I kind of like this new costume, except for that sash thing coming over her shoulder. Look up the picture. Supergirl number 21, if you're looking for it. if without that sash, I think the costume would be perfect. Let me know what you think about the costume in the comments, whether you like it or not. Okay, Flash, the TV series, going with Grant Gustin. They're going to be introducing some new villain characters, because why not? Keanu Madera is going to be Spencer Young. She's going to be playing the character of Spin, which is she's going to be a female version of what the comics had as a male. Don't care. That doesn't matter to me. As a social media influencer, her power will be she'll be able to harness the metahuman powers from people, make their fears become real. She amplifies that power, harnesses it for her own gain. Should be interesting. Anytime you turn people's own fears against them, kind of like Scarecrow, it paralyzes the person for a while. I mean, everybody's afraid of something. So let's see how they're going to do it. It's easier to draw the character. Let's see how they're going to do it on TV. As long as it doesn't look hokey, I think it'll be okay. So this next season of Flash, you're going to see that character called Spin. Slenderman, horror, scary movie. It's not, you might have remembered back in the news a while, years back, two girls in Wisconsin kidnapped another little girl, took her out in a park or the woods somewhere, stabbed her 19 times and killed her, and said they did it to appease Slenderman. That is horrible, scary in its own right. But now they have a Slender Man movie, and out of respect for the people in that area, the local theater chains are not going to show Slender Man. A good call on Marcus Theaters in Wisconsin. I totally agree with that. It's enough pain that it happened on the people associated with it. They don't need to be reminded by it being on the marquee at the cinema of why they're child or friend or however she was related to him was killed in the name of Slender Man. So if you're in those areas of Wisconsin, drive a little bit outside that city and go watch it if you want to. Bravo on Marcus Theaters for agreeing not to show it. Bloodshot. Vin Diesel announced the other day, you know, they had started filming. I can't express the importance of this movie to the Valiant universe. Bloodshot, if you're not familiar with him, he's an ex-mercenary. His blood, as part of an experiment, I guess, his blood was infused with nanites. These nanites will go about to fixing anything inside him that gets destroyed. Also lets him kind of morph his look a little bit if he wants to. Makes him, it's almost like a healing factor, but not quite as technology based. So, you know, whatever damage gets done to his body gets repaired quickly by these nanites. He's almost like if Punisher had Deadpool and Wolverine's healing factor. He's a great character, very integral to the Valiant universe. This Bloodshot movie, if it does well, will be the jumping board for all the other Valiant characters. He's probably the most recognizable of them, but he is by no means the most interesting. There are a lot of great characters in the Valiant universe. That's another whole video I could go into. We'll cover that later. Bloodshot, they did wise casting someone who is a big box office draw like Vin Diesel. He can definitely pull this character off. Like I said, if this does well, and I'm crossing my fingers it does, they're saying it's going to be like the John Wick of superhero movies. I love John Wick, so I hope they're right. And I hope this is the beginning of many, many Valiant Universe movies. They have so many stories to tell that people just aren't aware of. This may catapult Valiant up into the, you know, top three or four comic book publishers, especially if they have a very successful movie based on one of their characters. Can't wait. Let's just hope that Vin Diesel is able to do justice to it. Cyborg. Okay, we covered that already. That was about Doom Patrol. Yeah, I can just turn that one off. The next thing is going to be the Spider-Verse. Sony was the one who's going to be pushing this Valiant Universe stuff. They're also pushing a lot of the Spider-Man related things. Unfortunately, they had a Silver and Black movie that was going to have Silver Sable, Black Cat team up. It got delayed, the script rewrite, and then finally they said, you know what, we're not going to do it. So the Black Cat, Silver Sable team movie, not going to happen. They are saying they want to pursue a Black Cat solo movie. I love Felicia Hardy. I love that Black Cat character. I hope they do a really good solo movie with her. They're also looking at a couple other characters to do Spider-Man type movies with. They're a little less known characters. I already told you about Morbius the Living Vampire and Kraven the Hunter. They're even talking about doing Silk. She's another Spider-Man type character. She's got similar powers. She was bitten by the same spider, but she was kept secluded. Really great character, Silk. They're working on one for her. But these two guys, they're kind of more obscure. I doubt that you've heard of them. There's one character called Jackpot. It's a 40-something-year-old woman named Alana Jobson, who she creates a formula to give herself superpowers and then purchases the identity of a former superhero. That's a little weak. She created her own formula to give herself superpowers. Bought the identity of a former superhero. Why don't you just create your own? Anyway, Nightwatch is the other one. This is a character named Kevin Trench. He witnessed a costume hero die in a battle with terrorists. Ran and unmasked the hero and found out it was an older version of himself. Oh, what? Yeah, these two are supposedly in development. I am not sure I want to see those two movies. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the characters are more interesting than I remember. But I'd much rather see Morbius, Kraven, and Silk. So let's hope the Nightwatch and the other one are put on the back burner and done if it's a slow time in movies. Because. Batman is to begin filming in spring 2019. Ben Affleck is attached as producer so far. No word on whether he's going to reprise his role as Bruce Wayne / Batman. They're being very tight-lipped about it. The only thing they will tell us is it will not be based on year one. So you're not going to see the Batman year one story, and that's the only thing we know. The new Predator movie, the promo they released for it the other day, I told you earlier that it looks like, you know, the Chinese movie posters, we're going to have a female Predator. First time on the big screen that we're going to see a female Predator. It's also, we see in one of these trailers, the ultimate Predator. This is a genetically enhanced Predator. We find out they weren't just, they're alluding to the fact they weren't just coming around hunting for the sport of it. They were gathering DNA from all these species to try to pull out the strongest parts and infuse into themselves. This new ultimate Predator is all hulked up. He's a big boy. He's bad. Still very much recognizable as a predator, just as a big, mean predator that is hunting these other weaker predators because they feel they're an affront to the predator clan. Somehow they're on Earth and our mercenaries capture one. They bring it back to study. That doesn't go so well. He eventually breaks out, gets his weapons back, and he's coming out to just take out all the predators, the weaker predators that are around, and anybody else who gets in his way. That's going to be out in theater September 14th. The story sounds okay. Shane Black should be a lot of action. I like the idea of an ultimate predator. They're kind of going the route with aliens where the aliens morphed into whatever host had their baby in. Baby, is that the right word? The little thing that lived inside them, whatever the host was, it took on those characteristics. Well, the predators just went technology-based and added in what they needed to make these Ultimate Predators. DC Universe, it seems like we've been getting a lot of DC Universe announcements. The Stargirl live action, a lot of the audition tapes came out, so we know that they're looking at having characters like Dr. Midnight and Hourman from the Justice Society, so maybe Stargirl is going to lead into a Justice Society spinoff in the DC Universe movies there. We've mentioned Stripesy and the Star Spangled Kid. It's set to come out first season to debut in 2019, 13 episodes. Justice Society has not been getting its due lately. Everybody's so focused on Justice League. Justice Society was around before then. Some very classic characters that have been forgotten. I hope Stargirl brings these guys back to prominence. I can't wait to see it. And I hope it does lead into a Justice Society series. The first Superman Man of Steel movie, a lot of people didn't like it. That's beside the point. I thought it was all right. When he finds his Fortress of Solitude and he goes in and one of the pods is open and everybody was speculating, oh my God, that's got to be Kara Zor-El. It's got to be Supergirl's pod. Oh, we're going to have a Supergirl movie now. Zack Snyder said, no, she's not the one that was in that pod. That pod wasn't for Kara Zor-El. But when they asked him who was in it, he wouldn't say. So speculation is beginning again. Who was in that pod in the Fortress of Solitude? Whoever it is out and wandering around because the pod's open and there's no bodies laying around. Like I said, your guess is as good as mine. They like to throw these red herrings around. I just hope it's not something dumb like, oh, your dad is there now. Jor-El is still around. Black Lightning, Season 2. You're going to see a few more new villains. You're going to see a few more outsiders. They're bringing back the outsiders. Black Lightning, I watched most of Season 1. My only complaint about Black Lightning was his costume, man. He's trying to sneak around on these rooftops and be all incognito and stealth, but he's got a costume that has neon yellow stripes down the front that light up like a billboard. You're not hiding, man. You're pretty much drawing a circle around yourself there in the dark night. So, yeah, that was my only complaint, was the costume. Otherwise, I thought the story was okay. I like that his daughter, they're starting to bring his daughters in as having his powers also. We're going to see Thunder and Lightning. Going to see, like I said, they're going to focus more with bringing outsiders in. So, and the comic books, Batman is starting to get the outsiders back together also. Kind of good tie-in. Black Lightning is going to return for second season October 9th. Okay, the last thing I'm going to cover, which I'm sure you're tired of hearing about, but they keep bringing it up. James Gunn. That's right. Disney fired him because of some tweets he made 10 years ago were a little off-color joke tweets. He's very outspoken against President Trump. Some of Trump's supporters, I guess, dug these things up and insisted he be fired. Disney bent to their will, fired him. Everybody associated with Guardians of the Galaxy pretty much said, hey, we don't want to do it without him. So then they said, oh, that's fine. We're going to fire him still, but we'll use his script. And then they changed their mind. Said, okay, we're not going to use his script. Then Dave Bautista said, well, then release me from my contract. This isn't what I signed up for. Now they're saying, okay, well, we are going to use his script. We just don't want him to produce him. We'll let him do some other Marvel franchise movies. I think they did that mostly because as soon as they said they were going to fire him, there was a line at his door from other studios trying to get him to work on their stuff because he's proven to be good for the box office. And these other studios need a good box office. Marvel's been killing them with superhero movies. So we will see where we go from here. It looks like they're going to use James Gunn's script, but just not have him direct or produce or whatever it is he does for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That may change in the future. Let's see if Disney is going to bend to their whim. or if they're just going to thumb their nose and you know, hold these guys to their contracts. I'm not sure what kind of performance they'd put in with being unhappy with their contract, but Disney has the power to enforce it. Disney doesn't like to back down. They don't like to admit when they're wrong. We will see if James Gunn gets called back to work on Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That is all I have for you today. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Like this video. Leave a comment on this video. Good or bad, I don't care. If you don't like watching the videos, you can download our podcast at talknerdypodcast.com. You can also catch us over on iTunes. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, and if you do, please leave us a good rating to push us up farther into the iTunes ratings so we show up higher on the search. As always, I will see you guys tomorrow. Later, nerds.